I'm Carlos Prophet, and I listen to Generation Justice Sundays at 7 p.m. on 89.9 KUNM FM.
Hello, and welcome to Generation Justice. I'm Jesley Mendoza.
And I'm Rain Dotson. We're broadcasting from the University of New Mexico, KUNM 89.9 FM. News and music that connect.
Generation Justice is a multimedia project that trains youth between ages 13 and 25 to create media that is committed to inspiring social change.
This Tuesday in Albuquerque, a special election will take place. It's a controversial issue that has thrown Albuquerque into the national spotlight.
We're joined this evening by the legendary organizer Dolores Huerta and Denicia Cadena, the Communications and Culture Strategy Director for Young Women United.
They are here to talk about the Respect ABQ Women campaign, which is a group of individuals, families, and organizations who are dedicated to protecting a woman's right to make private medical decisions.
Is New Mexico being used as a guinea pig in national political experiment? Stay tuned to learn more. You just heard Superwoman by Alicia Keys. Tonight's music was chosen to reflect the show's theme of women's rights and empowerment.
Tonight, we're talking with Denicia Candena, the Communications and Cultural Strategy Director for Young Women United, which is one of the key organizations supporting the Respect ABQ Women campaign.
Denicia is a cultural organizer and engages the community through sculpting and welding. Denicia knows that some ways of knowing and understanding can only be expressed through art.
She has several years of experience working on issues of racial, gender, and queer justice.
She will speak with Paula Denaclaw about the upcoming election and the Respect ABQ Women campaign.
I'm Paula Denaclaw, and I'm sitting here with Denicia Cadena. I want to thank you for being here with us, Denicia.
I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
Can you tell us about the Respect ABQ Women campaign?
Absolutely. We're a group of women, families, and allied organizations working to make sure that personal medical decisions and the decision to end a pregnancy stay in the hands of New Mexico women and families.
And how are you and the Respect ABQ Women campaign pushing against this proposed ordinance?
We're having honest, respectful conversations with the people of Albuquerque. Just this morning myself, I was out canvassing in the South Valley talking to voters door to door, and we've had hundreds of wonderful volunteers join us. We've also had people on the phones, and so, you know, just doing everything we can to defeat this ballot measure.
And I really like how you said we're having honest conversations. So can you explain what the proposed ordinance says?
Sure. So it would limit all abortion after 20 weeks within the city of Albuquerque. And what's really important for voters to know is that it doesn't provide exceptions for rape, incest. It also doesn't provide exceptions for fetal anomalies and really serious health risks to the mother. And so we know that people making really heartbreaking decisions to end a pregnancy in many of these situations, you know, need to have every medical option available to them so that their safety is the utmost concern.
And for this being a local issue and that it is a city ordinance, why do you think it has gotten such national attention from, you know, several groups on both sides?
Definitely. Well, this is actually the first citywide attempt to limit abortion like this. You know, it's been tried at the state levels or different ways at other places, and it's always been deemed unconstitutional. But this is the first citywide, so we know that the proponents of this measure are using Albuquerque as a testing ground, and that's not what our families deserve.
I didn't know that this was the first attempt on a city level. Wow, okay. And who is really behind this ordinance and movement in Albuquerque?
Well, we know that the group that got this on the ballot measure moved here from Kansas after organizing to restrict women's health care there. And that, you know, these don't reflect New Mexican values. There's also several other out-of-state organizations that have come to our communities with their harmful and disrespectful tactics that are really based in fear and are based in scare tactics. And so we know that that's not what our families want to see. And we think people will work with our campaign in defeating this ballot measure and will go out on Tuesday and vote against it.
And you said that they're using harmful tactics. What do you mean?
Well, I think people have been really dismayed to see what's called the truth truck out on our streets with pictures of dismembered fetuses or those sort of things. You know, I know in my personal life that, you know, one was parked outside of my niece's school.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, that has no place in our communities. What we're trying to do is have honest, respectful conversations. We know that this is a complex issue for many people. Mm-hmm. And we want to be respectful about it and not bring things to our communities that don't belong here.
And you are a part of Young Women United. So how has YWU really been instrumental in this campaign?
So there's many organizations coming together to run this campaign. But I think what's really important for YWU is that we've been organizing in our communities of color and with young people. I think there's a perception out there that Latinos, Native American families, African American families would be in favor of a ballot measure like this. Mm-hmm. And we know that that's absolutely not true. You know, our communities of color across the state are strong. Many of us have been living here for generations. And we absolutely believe that people should make decisions about their own bodies. So when you ask people that way, do you believe that people's personal medical decisions should stay in their hands? People overwhelmingly agree with us. It's also been critical to organize with young people. There is not a polling place on UNM or CNM campus. And so it's been really important to us to include the student voice. You know, I think people have the perception that young people don't care about this. They're going to stay home. They don't vote in city elections. And that's absolutely not true. So, you know, we've been proud to organize with young people on campus and elsewhere, have young people volunteer. And, you know, we're incredibly proud of that work.
I honestly agree that stigma against young people of color voting is really there, because being a young person of color, it's automatically assumed that I'm not going to go out and vote. I'm not going to, you know, use my voice isn't going to be heard. So I really like that, you know, Respect ABQ Women is really, and YWU is really working on breaking that.
Absolutely.
So why do you think the Respect ABQ Women campaign is so important?
I mean, like I said, this isn't an issue about pro-choice or pro-life for us. We don't want to get into an ideological battle. That's not what Albuquerque deserves. What we want is just saying that personal medical decisions about ending a pregnancy need to remain in the hands of women and families. Like I said earlier, you know, we can't be in a woman's shoes. You know, we can't think about the circumstances that are possibly going on in her life. So like I mentioned, there's heartbreaking circumstances like fetal anomalies, the life of the mother, that we could never legislate one piece of law that would fit every family or fit every situation. So for us, it's really important that these personal decisions about ending a pregnancy remain in the hands of women and their families.
And what are the implications of this election on a national and local level?
So, you know, like I said earlier, on a national scale, we know that people are using Albuquerque as a testing ground and seek to replicate this in other places. The proponents of this measure, even though it is at 20 weeks, have openly said that they seek to outlaw abortion at any stage of pregnancy across the country. So we know that if it succeeds here, people will be looking to take it to other places. And we want to stop it here because we know that this is an Albuquerque values. It's not New Mexico values. And that, you know, women all over our nation deserve access to the healthcare they need. On a local level, like I said, this is about the safety of women and families. You know, we don't want the kind of situation, like I said, the exception for the life of the mother is very narrow. So we don't want a situation where a woman's life is in danger and her and she's having to jump through hoops to see if she's qualified in that exception. You know, when doctors need every possible medical option on the table, and these decisions need to remain in the hands of women.
And how narrow are those exceptions, I guess, the rules for the exceptions?
So our attorney, New Mexico Attorney General King, has said that this proposed measure is unconstitutional and unenforceable. So it's unclear even how those exceptions would go into play. But we've heard, for example, that if a woman receives a diagnosis of cancer, that she wouldn't be able to start chemotherapy treatment until that fetus was delivered. And so, you know, these are really grave circumstances that families are facing, and we need every medical option on the table.
I did not know that about the ballot or what it said. And, you know, why are you so passionate about this?
Well, Young Women United is a community organizing project by and for young women of color, and we believe that every person deserves access to the information, education, and resources they need to make real decisions about their bodies and lives. And so to us, this is just one piece in the puzzle, right? That people need healthcare when they need it. It's also about living wage jobs. It's also families getting treatment instead of incarceration when they need it. So to me, this is one piece of the puzzle in saying our families are strong. We know how to live. You know, I think I'm a sixth or seventh generation New Mexican raised by strong women. You know, it was one of my sisters that got me into social justice. So, you know, at the heart of this is that people have everything within them to make decisions about their own lives and bodies. And, you know, that's why I'm ready to organize on this and, you know, so believe in reproductive justice.
And why is it important that people go out and vote?
Well, you know, like I said, women's lives are really on the line. You know, this isn't a political issue. It shouldn't be an ideological battle. And this is about the safety of New Mexico women and families. And it's absolutely critical that people go out on Tuesday and vote against.
Thank you so much, Denicia, for all the amazing information that you provided to us this evening. And you've provided some great insights as well. I couldn't, you know, I didn't fully understand the ballot myself. And I'm really glad that you came onto the show and gave us all those clarifications. I really appreciate it. And is there anything else you want to add?
Well, I just want to urge people again to vote against. This issue is critical for all of our communities, for young people, for women, for men, for communities of color, about keeping our decisions in our hands and getting the people the health care they need when they need it. Just want to give people logistical information if they want to contact us, respectabqwomen.org. We've been really active on social media, on Facebook and Twitter, so people can look there for updates or any information they need. And if they want to reach us the old-fashioned, old style way, they can call Young Women United 831-8930. And, you know, I just want to stress again, you know, why I've been working so hard on this issue is I really do think it's critical to all of our communities and that nobody has the right to tell us what to do with our bodies and lives. And we need people to vote against this Tuesday.
Well, thank you again, Denicia. I'm Polly Tenecla. Now back to your hosts.
Thank you very much, Denicia, for being here with us this evening.
Thank you, Denicia. Keep on with your support.
We have music up next. Then we'll hear from the iconic activist, Dolores Huerta.
Let's listen to this dynamic song, Terrify Me by Toshi Reagan.
Just in the news everywhere I look. Hey, you're trying to terrify me. Basing your crimes on the words of the good book, Lord, you try to terrify me. Now this land is yours and it belongs to no other. You try to terrify.
Although women's rights immediately affects women, it impacts everyone's life.
Exactly. One woman who has been vital in women's rights advocacy is Dolores Huerta.
She's national advocate for women's rights and has traveled throughout our country, waving the flag for justice.
Dolores Huerta is the co-founder of the National Farm Workers Association and the founder of the Dolores Huerta Foundation.
Rain, a lot of people don't know that Dolores Huerta is a native New Mexican. This 83-year-old warrior is recognized internationally for her commitment to human rights.
She teaches community organizing through her foundation and at the University of Southern California.
She has received the Eleanor Roosevelt Human Rights Award from President Clinton and the Ladies Home Journal's 100 Most Important Women of the 20th Century.
Now here's our very own Jason Fuller with Dolores Huerta.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jason Fuller, Generation Justice Fellow, and we're here today with Dolores Huerta. We're really here to gain her insight with regard to her visit here in Albuquerque, as well as women's rights and civil rights. And why is this issue of women's rights an issue that everyone should be concerned with?
Oh, well, I think when we think about the women in our family and we think of how important the women in our family are, that the health of and the safety of the women in our family should be of the top priority for everyone. We know women are the ones that, you know, they create the values of family. You know, they're often the ones that keep the family together and often set the politics and the philosophy. But I think the most important thing is that women need to be able to be safe, need to be able to make decide what they're going to do with their own bodies and not let anybody interfere with that decision. And so it's extremely important. And the right wing has been little by little trying to chip away, you know, at women's rights. When we think of all the war on women, so to speak, even when they talk about what's happening, say, with the government shutdown, when they're, you know, taking away food stamps, most of the people that are affected there are women and children. And we think of the many levels of initiatives that the right wing has supported, and they, most of them are affected by women. Even saying people, trying to get people not to sign up for Obamacare, you know, most of the people, again, are women and children that are going to be benefited by Obamacare. Right. So this, and this constant attack on women's right to have an abortion is really insidious. It's been going on for a long time. And they, you know, they've got the laws in every state now. What they're doing is they're focusing on state legislatures, and now they're going down to municipalities like the city of Albuquerque, you know, and trying to pass these anti-abortion measures, you know. So,
Why is such a local topic? Why should it be recognized on a national level?
Well, as a matter of fact, it is being recognized at a national level. That's why we have so many national organizations that are involved now in this campaign here in Albuquerque. You have the ACLU, you have Planned Parenthood, National Organization for Women, Amnesty International, so many national organizations, Feminist Majority Foundation, that are all involved now in this campaign because they realize how important it is.
So here at Generation Justice, we're firm believers in young people working with media. Really gives us different types of ways to get our message out. So how can media be very helpful in this cause?
Well, I think media is extremely important, especially because people have to take this thing seriously, especially young people, because we know that oftentimes in a special election like this one, that many young people are not going to come out to vote, and it's going to be their vote that is going to protect women's right to abortion here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So through the media, we can make them understand how serious this is, get them motivated so that they can, not only, I was going to say register to vote also, because many, because we have out-of-state students may not be registered to vote here in New Mexico. And so the media is really important to get them motivated and to make them understand. So I would give them the messages that they can then share that with other students, right, and explain to them, this is why we need to get you to the polls. That's the most important thing.
I definitely agree with that, the fact that individuals, they don't see students as proactive and really taking the initiative to vote. And we're glad that you are here. You stated that you're currently a professor at the University of Southern California teaching community organizing. What do you try to emphasize on your students?
Yeah, well, I've been an adjunct professor at both UCLA and USC teaching community organizing. And I do that. I'm not currently doing that right now. I have been doing it in the past and have been invited to come back. But my schedule right now is not permitting me to do that because I'm doing so much traveling right now. But basically what I teach is the basics of organizing, which is just, you know, getting people together, making them understand that they've got power. because a lot of people, young people, even young people, don't realize that they have power to make the changes. And if people can come together, they may be poor, they may be non-citizens, they may not speak the English language, they may not have any money, but they've got the power in their person. And if we can get people to understand that you've got the power in your person, this is all that we need. If we, as individuals, then can come together collectively and we can take direct nonviolent action, this is how we make the changes. And we just saw that happen in the last election. You know, when young people, you know, Latinos, African-Americans, women, you know, we got President Obama elected, you know. When everybody was saying that it was going to be very close and the young people weren't going to vote, the Latinos were not going to vote because of the immigration issues, and yet we did it, you know. And so this is basically what the lesson is, coming together, organizing, so that people can, you know, bring the individual power and then turn that into collective power. And the other thing, too, is about bringing our movements together, which I was really happy to see that this campaign here is doing. You know, they're bringing together the different movements, the environmental movements, civil rights movements like ACLU, the LGBTQ community, and they're all working together to make sure that they can defeat this initiative. And basically, you know, that's what my speeches are about. And giving them examples of gains that we've had in the past, you know, through the farm workers movement, the kind of laws that we passed, the initiatives that we passed. And even on the local level, like with my foundation, the Dolores Huerta Foundation, you know, we organize immigrants, recent immigrants, first-generation immigrants, and they come together and they do incredible things. They, you know, we've gotten sidewalks and sewers and streetlights, swimming pools, fast bond issues to get gymnasiums built, you know, neighborhood parks. And we've got about 12 of our people who've gotten themselves elected to office. They've gotten elected to school boards, water boards, recreation boards, and city councils. So it's just taking power, right? But we can only do that if we're active. And that's basically what my teachings are about.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I were a student at USC, I would definitely take that class. you stated about, you went into detail about the farmers movement and this movement right now. There have been plenty of opportunities to, I guess, not serve as someone who's spearheading these events. But what has compelled you to continue to really pursue and be proactive over the years?
Well, I think if we can get our message out to people and make them get people involved, and you know, then the more people get involved, the more people get committed to activism. And as I said, even if they can only go out a few hours a week, you know, but that activism is what makes the difference. And we're like in a really desperate situation, I think, in our society right now. Which way are we going to go as a country? You know, are we going to go the way of the 99%, the 1% or the 99%, right? You know, are we going to be able to turn our country around so that the wealth of our United States of America will be going to students, will be going to people in need? Or is the money keep going up and staying up there with the 1%? And we have to do this through elections, basically. You know, we have to have an electoral revolution. This is the way that we're going to make it happen. It's like we can't do it through any kind of a violent or any type of other way. We have the power in our hands to change this, and that's through the ballot box. By getting good people to run for office, by getting campaign finance reform so that you don't have to be a millionaire, to run for office, and all of these things can be done electorally, you know, and right now when we think of the Tea Party and how they've been able to shut the government down, how did they do that? By getting their own people elected. Hey, well, we're the majority, right? We're the majority. We are the majority of people of color, you know, feminists, you know, white men of conscience, you know, we are the majority. But if we don't go out there and do the work, then we get the greedy and the powerful then take control. And so we've got to get out there and we've got to do the work. And so I guess the other message that we have is people have to understand that we have a responsibility. And that if we don't do this, nobody is going to do it for us. And if we don't do it, then the opposition's going to win every single time. So it's simple, but we've got to get people to understand that they've got to be committed. And that they've got to put in the work. And it's a lot of work for a lot of people, you know. Voting isn't that hard. It just takes a little bit of time to vote or to register to vote. It takes 5 minutes, you know. To vote maybe take you, 20 minutes or whatever time it takes to vote. But, you know, we're just not really understanding. And I can see why, because people get bombarded, you know, with the corporate media. People are more right now listening to their iPhones or their iPods than they are to the news about what's going on. And I can understand that people get distracted and disgusted, and they don't want to even hear what's going on anymore. But we've got to, you know, we've got to find out what's going on. We've got to be aware, because every decision that they make, the people that are elected to office affect our lives. Every single decision that they make affect our lives, and people have to understand that.
Thank you very much. Generation Justice is all about young people being proactive. So what advice do you have for young people who are passionate about social justice?
Get involved and do something, and you know, get out there and work. You know, do the work, do the canvassing, do the phone banking, do the organizing, do the leafleting. You know, give out the information, talk to other people. And sometimes we just talk to ourselves. You know, we don't talk to people that really need to be educated on these issues. And like at moments like this, this is a time when we can really make the difference and be proud of what we did, you know. So it's really important. The other thing, too, I hope that you're doing this, too, is really promoting that people have to sign up for the Obamacare, right? Because we know that if, especially young Latinos and young people of color, if they do not sign up for Obamacare, it's going to fail. So, again, here we have this huge responsibility to say, sign up for something that's good for you. You know, vote because it's good for you. You know, let's just do it. Understand that you matter. You have a lot of value. You're the only one that can work for your future, and your future is being taken away from you. So you've got to start fighting to get it back.
Si se puede.
Si se puede. Well, thank you for taking the time out, and we definitely appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thank you for being here today, and thank you for this broadcast.
Thank you, Dolores, for your contributions to humanity and for inspiring millions.
I was really moved when Dolores said that when we are united, we have power to make a change.
It really struck me how she said that this issue is a human rights issue because it hasn't always been thought of that way.
I completely agree. Now, for a song, here is I Am Woman by Helen Reddy.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend. 'Cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor. No one...
Sadly, we come to the end of our show. We want to give thanks to everyone who made this show possible.
Thank you, Denicia Cadena and Dolores Huerta, for your tireless activism, and thanks to Jason Fuller and Polly Dinetclaw for conducting those groundbreaking interviews.
This show was produced by Roberta Rao, Melissa Harris, and Rashad Mahmood. Editing was done by Polly Dinetclaw. Our engineers tonight were Jason Fuller and Makamaria Umi.
Now, we would like to thank all of our youth media makers here at Generation Justice, Sarah Hans, Brittany Sosi, Bayan Jabber, Manta Jabber, Stephen Ortiz, Victor Torres, Gada Jawad,
Marcus Baruman, Asia Luhan, Nadad Jawad, Hannah Kautz, Marquise Calloway, Bera Ugalde, and Mohammed Jabir.
Make sure to check out our website, generationjustice.org, where you can listen to all of our past shows, see our music playlist, and watch our videos. You can also see the music playlist on KUNM.org by searching for Generation Justice.
We're also active on social media, so please like us on Facebook by searching for Generation Justice and follow us on Twitter at GenJustice. Tweet, tweet.
Generation Justice is funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, with additional funding from the McCune Foundation. And of course, all of you who have contributed to our project by visiting our website and clicking donate.
We are now recruiting for more Generation Justice members. Are you interested in multimedia journalism? Do you want to use media to make a difference?
If so, then you should definitely check out Generation Justice. Go to our website, generationjustice.org, and download an application today.
Thank you again for listening.
I'm Rain Dodson.
And I'm Gisely Mendoza.
Up next is Spoken Word. Until next time.
See y'all next week.